Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 525 in the series. This session of the radio show shares my conversation with Health Director Kathleen Liberty. We had our conversation via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. In this session, we talk about the major topics of Earth Day, COVID-19, mosquitoes and ticks, and salmonella. The recording runs about 35 minutes. Let's listen to my conversation with Kathleen.
I mean, we had a whole podcast on ticks last year.
And the word for the questing. Check out questing.
Yep.
Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, anywhere on the internet at WFPR.FM and 102.9 on the radio dial anywhere in the local area. Here for another session to talk health with our health director, Kathleen Liberty. Kathy, happy Thursday.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's a bit cold out, but you know, it's New England. This is kind of the ups and downs of the weather cycle before we get truly into the warm summer weather.
I know. I pulled my sweater out this morning, so.
Indeed. There's going to be a frost warning, I think.
Then, you know, in a few weeks we'll be complaining we're too warm, so.
Yes. But that's, you know, New Englanders, we've got the right to complain about cold, complain about heat, you know. Complain.
Yep.
But in the meantime, we'll talk about good health topics because unfortunately we're still in this COVID pandemic, but at least we're behaving well mostly with the social distancing, the masks, and getting the vaccine. Yay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So as of, I believe, Monday, everyone over the age of 16 can get their vaccine.
I mean, it seems now eligible. Like, yep.
How did we even get there? There was such, you know, such angst in the beginning with the certain groups that could get there, that were eligible to get their vaccine, and really actually it took over lives trying to get an appointment.
Yeah.
And it was all encompassing, and here we are a few months later, where we're saying, hey, you know, you can do this now. All of you are eligible over the age of 16, and just a reminder. Anyone who's getting their vaccine from 16 to 18 years old needs a consent form from a parent or guardian.
From a parent, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, So, I mean, you know, and I, as well as, you know, other people had, you know, it really took me a while to get my vaccine, and, you know, I finally got it and I'm fully vaccinated, and I really feel free, free from, you know, that worry of, you know, getting it or transmitting it, or, you know, and I've done everything I can, but, you know, there's still in the back of your mind, you know, that concern. So
yeah. And clearly at the beginning, as we, those who may recall, and probably it's a bad memory, don't want to recall it because we're already behind it, and that's good. But the registration process was a bit of a nightmare. But then the state obviously did spin around, and now at least you can sign up, and then they'll text you with the date, with your availability, so you can go and find a date, time that's, whether at one of the major sites, the Heinz or Gillette nearby here, or the locals, CVS, for Walgreens, wherever they are, et cetera. So there's much more availability. And I think the other piece, clearly, as we've discussed before, you know, that first big group was such numbers, you know, it was over 1 million people, but we were still only getting 100,000 a week. So it's going to take time to work through that backlog, if you will. Right. And we're still not in a position where supply meets demand. We still have more demand than supply, but at least the pressures are somewhat down a little bit, to the extent that at least we have a date and a time, we're on a list, we'll get there eventually.
Right. And, you know, I just, you know, and now with the pause with Johnson and Johnson, you know, I don't know how that's going to affect anybody, as far as, not health-wise, but as far as the continuation, the distribution of vaccines. But I think we're in good shape, as it seems. Again, you know, it's too bad that local health departments couldn't continue with providing vaccines to the community. Right. I think we showed, we being the fire chief, the town administrator, the local board of health, you know, we showed that we could do this, and did it successfully several times with the first responders and the housing authority residents.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think it's great that the state has these mass vaccination sites, but I also think that it's, there's still a population that really wants the small community side of getting vaccinated. And although now CVS and Walgreens are providing it, I hope that those, you know, those people who like that smaller scale, you know, are happy with going to, you know, to the pharmacies and getting it. Actually, so I think Shaw's had a sign up too. If you want your shot, you can go to the pharmacy.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I'm not surprised that Shaw's and eventually Stop and Shop and the other, you know, markets that have pharmacies with them will be able to eventually expand and include there.
Yeah. You know, yeah. That being said about, I didn't mention this to you earlier, but, and I'm sure you saw it on the town council meeting last week, where the town council gave Dr. D'Addario
recognition
for her role in our vaccine clinics. And it was funny because as I said, when I met Diane at the first responders clinic, she was, I don't know if she was volunteering that day or kind of seeing how it works and how well it worked, but she came over and said to me, anything you need. And when it was clear I needed, you know, standing orders signed and processed, right? And someone had dropped these vaccines. You know, she really came and she was wonderful, you know, signed the orders, pitched in, jumped in. And you know, when I said she drew up hundreds and hundreds of vaccines. And it sounds easy, but it was very stressful for her and actually for some of us, because, you know, you drop an extra dose, right? And so now, you know, this clinic, you may have an additional 4 doses or 6 doses, but we don't know if we're going to draw that up at the second dose,
correct,
you know, clinic. So there was a lot of stress. And, you know, when the fire chief suggested, you know, doing this, recognizing her, to Jamie and myself, you know, I thought it was a wonderful idea. And although she's humble, you know, people still need to be recognized for their time and their effort and, you know, just volunteering, as well as the other volunteers that helped throughout. I can't even tell you, I had 2 or 3 volunteer nurses that went to every single clinic and helped out. So, you know, it's too bad, you know, we can't recognize everybody, but they actually they just do it because they're good people. And I also want to say, I had about 50 calls, you know, if you need help, let me know. So the community really reached out and I'm really grateful.
Yeah, that's definitely been one of the things that in my role I've been able to find, and thereby there's a whole lot of hope. And I've said it in other conversations that, you know, the community definitely does respond. The volunteerism, the service orientation is there. It may not be for everybody, but that's okay. Each their own. But those who do so willingly, do so humbly, don't necessarily need the recognition, but it's good to reward them with a little bit of recognition, because the town really depends a lot upon everybody. You know, many hands make light work. There's a reason for that.
Right. Yeah. It's true. Although in some cases, too many chiefs, not enough Indians.
Well, yeah, that comes up. Yeah.
But you know what? We got through, and it was just a really, at a bad time, it was a good experience.
Yes.
And like the fire chief said, just, and the community knows, we're ready if something like this happens again.
Yeah, and I think there'll still be some need for that, because as we've talked before, Chloe, and you've indicated, the Board of Health has that better knowledge, if you will, and better capability in some cases of really reaching particularly our homebound residents. You know, they're not going to be able to travel, even if it's just down the street to CVS or Walgreens. And you've already, if I recall from the Board of Health meeting, you've already reached a number of folks through the EMT delivery of the vaccine to the homebound. And obviously with the J&J hold, that's on hold a little bit, but presumably that'll get resolved and we'll be able to continue that.
Yeah, I mean, we did the homebound, I think 16, where the paramedics actually, you know, went, you know, took the doses, went to the homes, stayed for the 15-30 minutes, which was a lot. That's a lot to do. And we did, I think, two or four at the housing authority. And then the state, the DPH started with providing homebound vaccinations, where it was really great. You know, you just call the number and that someone does an intake and they come out and give you a vaccine. But because that's Johnson & Johnson, now that's on pause as well.
Right.
So we'll see what comes out of that, because I had two people call me and I provided that service for them before the pause. So there still is a need.
And I think Johnson & Johnson, while by the time people hear this, the decision hopefully will have been made, because I think they're discussing tomorrow, being Friday as we record this. But I think as my understanding, you can clarify, J&J, while there may be a correlation with some blood clotting, there's not a causation that's been truly nailed at this point, as I understand it.
Yeah, and that's what I read earlier this morning on CDC, and they are meeting tomorrow to review more data, I guess, and, you know, more findings and see what they decide.
Yeah, because it was a European agency that had said, I think they're going to add an additional warning label, but they're approving the resumption of J&J because of that correlation, but not causation factor, at least based upon what they've seen. Yeah. You know, and while we understand clearly where we're talking about, you know, the 90 to 95% efficacy, it's still not perfect. Just because you get the vaccine, you're not perfectly free from risk. There still is a chance. So,
and what we've been seeing what's called breakthroughs. And so that's a fully vaccinated person who actually tests positive for COVID without being symptomatic. So DPH epidemiologist Dr. Katie Brown spoke about this at our call on Tuesday or last Friday, that, you know, there's just not enough of data, that there's just not enough research to even really respond yet on why there's a breakthrough. So, you know, that's the problem with the pandemic and it being so new, you know, is just gathering data and research. And then, you know, hopefully in 6 months to a year, that we have enough information that we know.
Right. You know, so. Right. In the meantime, the simple piece is the vaccine is good. It's been tested. It's valid. It's ready. But it only gives us, you know, a portion of, you know, maybe it's the high side, 80, 90%, but there still is a chance we still may get it. And that's where the root cause over time will get determined to say, oh, what was that? Right. You know, it may be one of those variations that hasn't been caught, but at this point, theoretically, the variations are caught. So,
right. And the good part is, if you do get it, you don't get as sick.
Right.
So, and you know, I'll say this, you know, it all goes back to what we started saying in April of last year, Steve. I mean, you know, I actually have this list of what you can do once you have been fully vaccinated, but we still have to remember that washing our hands, wearing a face covering, and separation of 6 feet is the most important piece of this prevention piece of not getting the virus. True. Right?
Yeah.
So once you have been vaccinated, I just kind of want to go over a little bit of the activities that CDC has provided. Is that you can, and fully vaccinated is two shots of Pfizer or Moderna, so fully vaccinated is 14 days after your second shot, and then 14 days after the single shot of Johnson & Johnson, if that comes back.
Right.
So you can visit inside a home or private setting without a mask with other fully vaccinated people of any age, and or you can visit inside a home or private setting without a mask with one household or unvaccinated people who are not at risk for severe illness. You can attend a medium or large gatherings, but again, you know, mask and separation. So, and then there's some travel information too. So if some people are traveling, CDC has that information as well, you know, so we're getting there.
We are. And you mentioned the 16 to 18 requiring the parental guidance or approvals, et cetera. Work is still underway to get the under 12 vaccination authorized, et cetera. That may still happen before the end of the year, depending upon which vaccine gets approved and the test and trials and all that kind of good stuff. So we're not out of the woods by any means, but we're certainly a heck of a lot further along than some of us had anticipated last year, for sure.
We are. And I was reading today on, well, we get the percent positivity, right? So we came down, Franklin being we, so last week it was at 1.99% positivity, and we're at 1.59 as of today.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been, last week there were 107 total tests, this week 82 positives, and so we're coming down. So there's 82 positives out of 5,148 tests over a 2 week period. But you know, in this state, there's 1,370 new confirmed cases. And, you know, so we still have to be diligent. And I find that when I'm talking to businesses who have to, you know, report to me, there is really some lackadaisical behavior, I guess you might say. You know, the staff and her best friend, you know, they were together Friday night for dinner. You know, my best friend and I haven't seen each other or have had dinner in over a year. And now we're both fully vaccinated and we plan to have dinner together. But you, just because you're best friends doesn't mean that your best friend's immune from it and you are too.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't really flirt with this virus, and you can't be ignorant about it either.
No.
You know, so you just gotta, you know, it's, and that's a gentle reminder, because I get it. We want to go back to living normal, whatever that is.
You know? Yeah, we've been confined, constrained, almost, you know, to the extreme for so long. We do want to break out, and especially with the nice weather coming. But let's be mindful of it. This is something that's still a very serious disease. Mm-hmm. Some people are more at risk than others. Vaccine's still going to take a while to generally penetrate the population. You know, with, I think, masks specifically, we've got about 25% that are, you know, teenagers, mm-hmm. right? So we're not going to hit that, you know, herd immunity, if they call it, you know, in the 80% range, not with 25% under in the teenage group and under, because their vaccines are not even available yet. So we won't hit herd immunity until, you know, maybe 2022 sometime. So it's going to be a bit. So, you know, as hard as it is, yeah, be mindful. It is airborne and it is serious, but washing your hands, wearing masks, us maintaining the distance where appropriate, then yeah, that'll help us get through that.
It really will. And, you know, I don't like wearing a mask. You know, no one does, although there's some fun ones out there now.
Yeah, the designs are really getting creative, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, and I heard from a resident yesterday who, you know, really believes her children are being forced to wear masks and it's not necessary. And so she was, you know, close to tears. So you have to have some empathy, sympathy, and, you know, and try to understand through this.
Yeah. There's still a significant, well, some aspect of the population that thinks it's a privacy issue. I'm sorry, it's not a privacy issue. It's a public health issue.
Certainly is.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, and we have some other public health issues to talk about too.
You do, because while this one clearly is airborne, there are other issues out there.
Yeah, there are. And you and I just talked about, you know, ticks. I mean, we had a whole podcast on ticks last year.
Last year. And the word for the go checking, questing. Check out questing.
Yep, questing. And, you know, I mean, there's some serious diseases that you can get from ticks. So when we talk about being mindful, you know, I know it's a lot. It's, you know, put on the mask and, you know, I have all this other stuff on our mind. But, you know, we can get sick from having ticks on us, you know, as well, biting us. And, you know, so when you're outdoors, even in your own backyard, as you found out this weekend.
Yeah, that's thoroughly surprised me. I mean, we're in a city neighborhood. Granted, it's Franklin, but we're in the neighborhood. There are some woods in the back, but I've never seen a tick. And yet my wife had come in, her sister found one on her hair, and I was out. And then later that afternoon, I saw one crawling on my wrist. It was like, wait a minute, what's this?
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, we're going to have to be very careful just in our backyard.
Yeah. And, you know, and of course our pets are out there too, right? Yeah. And they can get on your pets and then get onto you.
Then come into the house and then quest.
And then quest, exactly. But yeah, it's nothing really to ignore. And you know, we deal with it, you know, not even seasonal. I mean, they're kind of out there at the during winter as well, but they're more prevalent right now and through the summer. So, you know, we always want to wear our, you know, insect repellent, you know, not so much with ticks, of course, more for mosquitoes, but, you know, make sure that our body's covered. And you know, when we come in, you know, take off your coat, check it, like you said, you know, it was crawling on your pants. So make sure to be mindful and check yourself for ticks and your children and pets.
Yeah. And I think in our last episode, we had talked about the Norfolk District who's going to be doing the spraying. I haven't seen another notification, but I know we've had some interesting weather recently, so that may have been delayed as well, but yeah, at least some spraying for the mosquitoes will be happening.
Yep. So I got a letter from them yesterday or the day before. They are delaying it because of weather, but they will get to it. That's really important. You know, the spraying, although I'm sure some people have reservations about it, but I think it's worse to get triple E Lyme disease than worry about the toxins from the spray.
Right.
You know, yep. So.
And I believe there's also an option. So while they do the airborne spraying for, you know, the kind of the wooded area, the wetlands areas in town, you know, individuals can request if they have a particular area that needs to get sprayed as well.
Yeah, they can do that. They can either call the health department and I can provide them with the number, or they can actually, you know, look up the number themselves. I also post their when they send me their time frame for spraying or whatever it is that the application that they're doing, mm-hmm. that does get posted on my website, on the right. health department website.
Yep. Yeah, and I'll share that as well. So we'll make sure at least we include links to your page and some of that info in the show notes for those listening. You don't have to scramble and write down, check the show notes and we'll have right. it for you.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Thank you for that. I appreciate Certainly. It. Yeah.
Part of the service.
And I remember,
it matters.
Was it 2 years ago? 2 years ago, Triple E was
rather prevalent. Yep.
2 years ago, right? And we thought that was the biggest public health issue that we had seen, and it wasn't.
Yes, so. Yeah, they got overwhelmed by the pandemic.
Yeah, a little bit, you know, so that's why I like to do this with you, is just give out those gentle reminders, you know, because we are isolated and we're, you know, a little depressed, a little disheartened, and have enough to think about and worry about, but mm-hmm. There's gentle reminders that these things do occur, you know, this time of year. So let's be mindful.
Yep.
I was telling you earlier too, I wrote an article and it's on our website. It's called Healthy Families, Healthy Flocks, because the reason why I wrote this is more and more families are raising chickens.
Yes.
And it was kind of funny because I stumbled upon an article in the CDC that more and more people are getting salmonella from their chickens.
Their flocks.
Their flocks, yeah. So I started doing a little bit of research, and it's not prevalent here in Franklin, but we do have a lot of people who are raising chickens in Franklin. So I thought it was kind of interesting, you know, to make sure that people understood that, you know, you can get salmonella from, you know, chickens in your backyard, even though they're cute and they're like family members, you still have to be diligent about washing the eggs before cracking them, you know, washing your hands, mm-hmm. You know, can be the fecal matter, which carries the virus, right?
Right.
The chickens walk in it, you know, and so wherever they walk, so you just in even their feed. So I wrote that article just to kind of, you know, get that information out. But when I was on CDC today, I ran into actually several different ways that you can get salmonella from your pets. And from the first one is from a wild bird song. What's it called? It's I wrote it down. Hold on. What I say to you is a wild bird, right?
Yeah.
A wild songbirds, it's called. And they're actually from the finch family. And right now, the CDC is reporting salmonella in the wild songbirds and in people in the United States. And there's actually an interactive map, and you can, it's all over. I mean, it's, you know, it's, Oregon yeah. to the New Hampshire. I mean, it's really kind of bizarre. It's just, and so the birds are, they are getting sick with the same strain that humans get sick from. Mm-hmm. So, which I didn't even know. I mean, I thought that interesting because who knew, right?
Right.
And so what happens is the salmonella germ spreads between the species of birds to pets and to people. And I was just like, oh my God, you know, where I'm an avid bird watcher, right? I know my peers here at work, we always talk about the beautiful birds that we see and our bird feeders and all of this. And I said, well, you know what, let's get this out, you know, a little bit, that people have to be really careful, mm-hmm. You know, make sure that when they're done, you know, adding their bird feed to the bird feeder, you know, make sure that, you know, you clean and disinfect the bird feeder every so often, but more importantly, make sure you wash your hands when you're done handling it. And the other suggestion is to keep pets from under the bird feeder. And I don't know about you, but my dog loves eating bird feed under the bird feeders.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't have pets, and I haven't seen too many pets really spending time around there, but those other things called squirrels and other doves, et cetera, they like to hang around under there. And I'm sure there's a few rabbits that run through. So are other wildlife that run through those bird feeders and pick up stuff, if not run through.
I know, it's so funny. And but so there's been 19 people ill, 8 hospitalized in 8 states so far. Yeah. So, and this isn't over, like they haven't closed this investigation.
Right.
But then
I think it just reinforces the key point in terms of the basic safety, you know, be aware, wash your hands. If you're going to touch, and even having seen an article similarly, when I was refilling my bird feeders, I've got a smaller kind of finch feeder. I cleaned it out completely because there was some stuff at the bottom that wasn't filtering through, you know, water or what weather might have gotten at it. So I cleaned it out completely and then obviously washed my hands after, and then saw the article. It's like, good thing I did.
I know. Ooh,
who knew? I was just feeding the birds.
If I told my husband to make sure you wash that bird feeder, he's not going to do it.
And I think people recognize, especially if they get kind of the hummingbird feeders, you know, those need to be refreshed on a regular basis because of the nectar, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But other feeders need to be cleaned as well.
Right, so, right, exactly. Yeah. And bird baths too, they suggested.
Yes.
I don't clean mine up with my hands. I use a hose, but mm-hmm. But you know, nonetheless, it's just kind of interesting and you know, just something else to be mindful about to keep keep yourself healthy and your family healthy.
Yeah.
I was surprised that there was so many salmonella outbreaks with, you know, bearded dragon, which are, you know, people handle those all the time, you know, when they're pets. My son has several of them. You know, they're even, you know, on the table. You know what I mean? Like, they really, it's not like, you wouldn't put your dog on the table, but, you know, I guess like these other little, you know, bearded dragons, it's okay, but it's not. And so I was a little surprised. And the other thing, it actually brought me back to my childhood, is turtles. And I always knew you could get salmonella from turtles, but there's a large outbreak. I mean, there's actually, I don't know where, there's I think here there's 1,700 cases, over 50 states, 1 death, 333 hospitalizations.
Wow.
So we think about when I was a child, you know, we had lakes around.
Mm-hmm.
We'll always see these sun turtles, you know, walking around the middle of the road, and you make sure you bring them to safety. Sometimes brought them home, try to feed them lettuce, whatever. And we were just kids, but you didn't worry about salmonella poisoning.
No.
You know, so this is a big outbreak. And so the salmonella germ is in their droppings as well. And if you do have one as a pet, it can be in the tank water as well. But what I didn't know is that look at me learning all kinds of stuff when I prepare for our podcast, right?
We're all lifelong learners, or we should be. So just reinforcing that point.
Yeah. But there's a federal law that prohibits the sale of small turtles, but they are being sold. You will find them like at flea markets or, you know, just undesirable, you know, places that have them for sale. And it talks about only buy a turtle with a shell of 4 inches or more. So you have to make sure
the bigger ones. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but you know, just like I said, brought me back to my childhood, and we always loved turtles, and they're just so sweet. And you know, they're not pets like our cats and our dogs, where you shouldn't cuddle, you shouldn't kiss, you know, and that goes with chickens, and that goes with your bearded dragons and your turtles. And, you know, you shouldn't be that close to, you know, these species, for, you know, you can get salmonella from them.
Right.
So I just thought it was kind of important, and, you know, just to kind of bring that up.
Absolutely. Yeah. Health is important. You know, we got to be aware all the time.
I know.
Be mindful.
I know.
And behave properly.
Yep. Don't put your bearded dragon on the table.
Yep.
Indeed. But that's all I've got. What do you have?
Happy to be vaccinated. Happy to start considering exploring beyond the boundaries of where we've been. But yeah, it's hopeful.
Good.
It's hopeful.
That's good. Same here. I'm looking forward to, I'm actually seeing some normalcy in the health department. You know, kind of going back to, you know, before COVID.
Something other than COVID.
My town administrator asked me at the town department head meeting.
Right.
He said, all right. He said, tell me something non-COVID. And I said, non-COVID?
Non-COVID? What's that?
Not about COVID. It's a part-time job. Oh, he laughs, but
yeah,
it's really transition.
Yeah. Well, as we've talked, you've got a bunch of other things on the plate between, you know, food inspections, occasional building issues. There's a variety of things that the health department truly does primarily in the background, and something like the pandemic brings it obviously foreground. So,
right. Yeah. You know, we do housing inspection. We're back to doing housing inspections, you know, and it's kind of hard. It's like, okay, I'm going to be there, but you need a mask, and I'm going to be wearing a mask, and I'm going to come in and inspect as quickly as I can. And I appreciate if you stay 6 feet away from me. So there's boundaries now.
Sure. Protocols to follow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I find that people are following them. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. Which speaks to the numbers, right? Because we're continuing to drop down, which is good. At some point we'll drop to minimal and hopefully stay there. And, you know, people continue to behave, so we don't have any spikes that would change things.
Oh, please, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Because as we've talked, we need the health to be better in order for business to truly return. Because until people truly get comfortable. So yeah, we can have dinner with a friend or lunch with a friend inside and not just outdoors. The businesses, whether restaurants or other businesses, that, you know, they're still having trying times. So yeah,
they are. You know, I think though the direction that I'd like to take the health department is almost like a community health worker spectrum. You know, because I saw a lot of people, you know, come through the vaccine clinics, and I think there are a lot of needs out there that, you know, are going to exasperate because of the COVID. We all know, you know, the certain subjects, you know, substance use and or misuse, I should say, and domestic abuse and chronic disease that, you know, is skyrocketing, getting worse because people don't want to go to the hospital. And, you know, so, you know, I'm trying to see what direction we want to go in and what public health looks like after this. You know, what grants are going to be available, you know, mental health grants and, you know, things like that. So starting to look down the road, I guess you might say. And like you asked me about my prescription pantry that I've talked about a few times, and, you know, that's geared towards, eating healthy. And so, you know, I'm going to hopefully implement that program, through the summer farmers market.
Sure.
And make people aware, you know, so, and also too, I'm on the school wellness committee.
Yes. School Wellness Advisory Council.
Yep. Yeah, yep. I love it. I love it so much. And I'm actually learning so much, and I'm on the nutrition subcommittee. And so it really gives me, it takes me outside of the year that I've been in with the pandemic. And it helps me kind of remember who I was and my, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. what my right. job is.
The other things you used to do.
The other things I used to do that excites me and helps the community. So I'm looking forward to that down the road, right around yeah. the corner.
Definitely. I'm looking forward to that piece because Chloe, we need a healthy Franklin to be a lively Franklin, and mm-hmm. we're making progress. We're right. getting there. So
exactly.
Well, thank you for your taking your time today to share some of the insights and reminders, friendly and otherwise, so that people can still follow the protocols, because while we're into a hopeful period, we're not done yet. So right. we need to be exactly. mindful.
Sure. Thank you.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. And by the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.